Hi, welcome back to Fusion Feasting. This is episode 2.
Yay, tikka
Yay.
masala.
Oh, tikka masala. That's a good one.
Yes.
That's a really good one.
We actually just ate it.
We did. They make chicken tikka at the DeKalb Farmer's Market. DeKalb Farmer's Market.
DeKalb.
And it's really good. It's in their like frozen food section, but they throw the whole thing together there. And it's really, really good.
I had never had it before from the farmer's market, actually.
Yeah. Dude, we eat it like 2 to 3 times a month.
Wow.
Dude, it's so good.
Did they have it when they had their hot bar open?
I don't know. Because I never, when you go to the farmer's market and the hot bar's open, you don't really look at the other meals that they have.
Yeah.
You know?
Did they have it in
in the hot bar? I don't know. I always got samosas and...
Oh, yeah, me too.
I always got samosas and a slice of pizza and, collard greens.
They had this... sorry, I have hiccups.
Yeah.
It's bad. They had this Alfredo with chicken, and I think it had mushrooms in it. It was really good.
I went to the farmer's market like a few weeks ago with my dad, and I looked at the mushroom section, and they had the oyster mushrooms, and they had, what were the ones you showed us like the other day, the lion's mane.
Oh, those are dope.
I've never eaten those before, but
they
look
so
cool.
It's like if broccoli was a mushroom, sort of. Like that's kind of the size of it.
Yeah.
And like the look of it.
It's really weird looking, but I want to put the whole thing in my face. It's like a sea anemone.
Yeah. No, when my dad made it for us, he like chopped it up into these like little broccoli shoot looking things. And then he just sauteed it in garlic and butter. And it was so good.
Mushrooms are so good.
Mhm.
But you know, like I want to know how they make the tikka at the farmer's market. Cause I want them to put mushrooms in it. I really like mushrooms. I can eat mushrooms in anything.
Yeah, and it's like a great vegan or vegetarian alternative.
Yeah. Ooh, mushroom tikka.
Yeah.
That sounds really good.
I wonder if there's like paneer tikka.
There is. I was just about
or
to tell you that.
Or tikka is chicken, right?
Yeah, it's paneer masala.
Yeah.
Which is funny because like English people will be like, oh, it's
chicken
tikka
masala.
And you're like, okay, so it's just tikka masala.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I was in Orlando, my mom and I got takeout from an Indian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I did not expect Orlando to have good Indian food. Like that was surprising and unexpected. But like, we ordered this takeout and we had an order of chicken biryani, you know, like the rice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of the biryani we had paneer masala.
Oh my god,
it was so good. And they had like the, because we don't really have jasmine rice at my house because
mm-hmm.
we don't use it a lot. We make a lot of basmati rice.
Yeah.
So this was basmati rice that we ate the tikka with, but. The jasmine
really?
Rice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, then my dad is just really bad at making basmati rice.
Really?
Because, that looks like jasmine rice.
Like, pieced apart. Does he make it, clumpy?
No. It's just, very dry. Which is, what I associate basmati rice with. Like, long and dry rice. Because a lot of, Indian foods are, curries or liquidy. Just
moist.
Yeah, so if you don't want a mushy rice to go along with that.
Yeah.
But this was really good.
Yeah. Now we have a special step by step one.
Mm-hmm.
For all our listeners, this is how you cook basmati rice. In the English man way to make it not mushy. I don't know who we learned it from, but you take a cup of basmati rice. And then a cup and a half of water, and you put them on the stove, and you boil them. So when they start boiling, you lower the heat to a simmer and cover it, and then you let that do its thing for about 10 minutes, you know? After it's done that for 10 minutes, you just push it off the heat. Don't look at it. It's like a watched pot that never boils, except to watched rice gets gross. So you push it off the heat, and you just leave it there for another 10 minutes. And then you come back and you fluff it with a fork or whatever. Mm, beautiful. But, oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Rice is hard to make. People are like, rice is so easy. No, it's because you have a rice cooker.
People are like, rice is just like small pasta.
No. Oh my god. It's so much more like temperamental. It's like,
yeah,
whiny.
Yeah. And like if you take, it's really annoying because if you leave it on for just a second too long, it's really, really mushy and really not enjoyable to eat.
Yeah.
Really. But then if you don't leave it on long enough, then it's like really crunchy. You're not crunchy, but thick. Like al dente pasta.
I would way rather have mushy rice than crunchy rice. Yeah.
But you can't like recook the crunchy rice. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of, you're in a rough situation.
Yeah.
And it's not fun for you. It's not fun for me. It's not fun for anybody. It's just hard.
Yeah.
And simply not tasty. But like, yeah, it's weird. Because my dad has this perfect, perfect way of cooking basmati rice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where he learned how to do that.
Yeah.
Because it certainly wasn't my grandma. Her, like, her little English, like, no, rice is always better when it's dry.
Ooh.
When it's crunchy. She really likes al dente rice.
Ew.
So we don't let her make rice. Like, we'll make saag paneer.
Mm-hmm.
She's not allowed to make the rice.
Saag paneer is the spinach.
Yeah.
Like creamy spinach one, right? That, oh my god, it's so good.
My dad makes really good English Indian food.
Mm-hmm. Is saag paneer like a fusion of them?
I don't know if saag paneer is a fusion, but anything that my dad makes is
a fusion. Yeah.
Because he's like, he'll look at things and he'll be like, no, I don't have that spice. So he'll just throw in another spice. And I'm like, I don't think that's from India, Dad. And he's like, and? But it always ends up pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah. Not to be confused with the English people who think they can make good versions of other people's food.
Yeah, that gets rough.
Have you ever had, like, have you been to England?
Nope.
Okay. So, what you make, like, tikka here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tikka masala here is good, right? Because a lot of the times, even though it is like a fusion-esque dish, it is made by people from India or Pakistan or Bangladesh, you know? Mm. But in England, it's just made by English people.
Oh, God.
And it is not good.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no spice. There's some flavor, because you can't make tikka masala without some flavor. I don't know. Maybe we could challenge them to do that. They'd probably succeed. But, like, you know. I don't know, man. It's like whoa.
I find it so interesting that, like, curry is such a huge thing in England, though. I was reading up on, like, the history of tikka masala and stuff. And it said that there's this whole, like, area or this street called, like, Curry Street? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just filled with, like, curries from everywhere.
Yeah. And you know what? It's really good. It's really good for what it is, you know?
Are those, like, white English people making it, or...?
It's a little of both. So there are a lot of, like, Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi people.
Yeah.
In England, especially London.
Yeah.
There are a lot of, like, Southeast Asian people in general in England. I wonder why.
We will get into that too.
We'll get into that in a minute. It's a little bit of a blend. Okay. But like the closer, I mean, it makes sense, I guess. I was about to say it's a little confusing, but it's not really confusing. The closer to London or like major cities that you get, the better the white people curry tastes.
Yeah.
Like, Like, I was in Ely, which is, like, coastal Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 40 minutes from Edinburgh. And it just is, you know, bad curry. Don't eat the curry either.
Yeah.
It's not good. But then you get into, like, Edinburgh, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. But I guess the English are not famous for improving the dishes that they make.
Yeah. Yeah, I've found that curries are bad because they're either flavorless or they have too much cream or, like, fatty
mm-hmm.
ingredients and no spice.
Yeah.
Or they're just only spice.
Yeah. There's
and
like
dry.
Yeah.
That it makes me so angry.
There's like that rule where it's like the lighter a curry gets. like you have a tikka masala curry for
mm-hmm.
for instance, and it's like a deep, nice red.
Yeah.
Like that is a good tikka, but then they're like an orange.
Yeah.
And you kind of
or like
edging away from
what's
it
called, rosé pasta sauce, where it's like you make red sauce and then you put cream in it.
Ew.
You've never had. I mean, it's good.
No. I'm not a cream guy.
Okay. Well,
I don't like we don't do a lot of milk or creams.
Yeah, you don't like cheese either. We talked about that last time.
I'm not a dairy guy.
I don't really understand that.
I really like ice cream.
Yeah.
And I like some cheese. But I'm not, like, if you ask me if I wanted cheese, the answer would probably be no.
Yeah. Well, there's not a lot of cheese in curries.
No. Except for paneer, which is like
yeah.
But that cheese.
I feel like paneer has always reminded me more of tofu than it has of cheese.
Yeah, because it's not cheese how, like, we think of cheese,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, if someone put sag paneer in front of me and I didn't know that paneer was cheese, I'd be like, oh, what a good tofu curry.
Yeah.
What a tasty little soybean dish.
In fact, like, when I was little, I had no idea what it was. It, like, confused me, so it kind of made me a little bit nauseous.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why the combination of, like, the paneer and then the, like, creamy spinach.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that I thought it was gross. It just kind of gave me a headache.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Okay, I get that. Yeah.
Now I love it.
It's good.
It's
really
delicious.
Good. I could tear up sag paneer any day
mm-hmm.
of the week. I like helping my dad make it.
Yeah.
English people making food. Because he'll, like, cut them up into cubes. Because you said
mm-hmm.
that you usually have it with triangles, right?
Mm-mm.
You don't?
I've usually had it with cubes.
Oh, you were talking about queso fresco. Yeah, that's a different
thing.
Oh,
no, queso fresco in, like, rectangles.
In
like
blocks.
Yeah, but, like, skinny. Like,
yeah.
Just cut it across the,
yeah.
the circle.
Yeah, I like taking the cubes. So my dad will cut the cubes, then I'll throw them in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll, like, sauté them in, like, spices. Not heavy ones.
Yeah.
And usually no red spices, because they don't go super well
Mm-mm.
in it. But, like, garam masala and stuff.
Yeah.
Really good. And then I sear them, and I'm like, oh my god, it's cheese.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing about it. It really icks me out when cheese melts.
Huh.
Except for on pizza and, like, nachos and stuff.
Yeah.
Queso. But queso's natural state is melted. But paneer just doesn't melt. And
yeah.
the, like, science of that doesn't make sense in my head.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's really good.
Speaking of fusion food, I feel like sag paneer would be good if you, like, switched out the paneer part for blocks of queso fresco. I feel like that would not be that bad.
That would probably be actually really good.
Because queso fresco is, like, it doesn't really have a specific, I mean, it has a specific flavor, but it doesn't have, like, spices.
Yeah, it's not overpowering.
No, and it's just, like, it's mild and a little bit salty. It's like how like tortillas, they have a specific flavor, but it's such a blank canvas for like to put any, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You're like, tortillas taste like tortillas, but you mm-hmm. can, but it's not like a limiting flavor.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
if someone put one in your mouth, you'd be like, yeah, it's a tortilla.
You can probably put anything in a tortilla and it would be delicious.
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Honestly, probably.
I'm just probably fine. Tikka masala.
Ooh.
No, that, dude.
We should do
oh
that.
Oh my god, okay. That reminds me of this episode in Hindified where one of the main characters, he's like a chef,
mm-hmm.
and he makes tikka masala tacos.
Oh.
And I think he calls them, instead of tikka masala, tikka morales.
I thought you were going to say tortilla masala.
No, but he, like, offers one to his grandfather, and his grandfather's like, no, 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 mijo, you don't do this. but then he's like, try it, and then he tries it, and he's like, oh my god.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
Now. God, that sounds so good.
It sounds amazing.
See, like, fusion food for most other cultures is, like, taking really unique flavors mm-hmm. and like throwing them together and like seeing what works and then creating like a really beautiful dish.
Mm-hmm.
And then with like English fusion food, it's like, give me your dish and I will make it less spicy. And
yeah.
And like less colorful probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I might put beer in it.
Ugh, okay. So. I hate beer.
I know you hate beer.
Every time I've, like, been offered a sip by one of my family members, it's just disgusting.
It's not good. I mean, it depends, because, like, I don't drink beer in the States on account of it being illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But I do drink it in England.
Yeah.
Where it's less illegal. And it's so much nicer in England.
Yeah, I bet.
Because they, like, make it there. And they're, like, really strict about it.
Mm-hmm.
But some beers get a lot of hype, like Boddington's. Boddington's is not good.
Huh.
It's not good. But, like, I don't know, dude. English people do beer really well. And everything else, they can't do.
The thing is, okay, I feel like a lot of English cuisine is just them stealing from other countries when they colonize them.
Yeah.
And then, like, literally whiteify them.
Well, like, what are the most significant, like, dishes of the Isles? Fish and chips,
mm-hmm.
which is just, like, beer-battered fish with no spices.
It's literally all beige.
Yeah. And it's... and. The frying technique is Portuguese, so that's not even properly English. And then, haggis.
What's that? Oh, wait.
It's Scottish. It's when they take a sheep's stomach and they
I've
stuff
heard of
it
this.
With a bunch of stuff. Listen, it's
good?
Really good.
Okay.
But it's good because English people, like, to be fair to the English, okay. Because people are so unfair to the English. That was sarcasm. To be fair to the English, they got really good at making things taste good without spices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they got really good at knowing what
What's
plants and, like, vegetables taste good with, like, animals and stuff,
yeah.
You know? They got really good at doing that. And
mm-hmm.
Okay, this is gonna sound sarcastic, but I promise I'm being serious. The English know what to do with salt.
Yeah.
And pepper. And it's really good. But as soon as they start using spices, which they don't know how to use,
mm-hmm.
it gets really bad.
Yeah.
Because they can do rosemary and thyme, all that stuff. They can kill potatoes. You, like, slather them in some pig fat. And
yeah.
Then it's so good.
Well, I think that the spices that they use, you don't really need to use fat to enhance their flavor. Like, there's not really a specific technique, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But with Indian cooking, you like bloom the spices before you like do anything. You like, you know, toast them in whatever oil you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Usually like what's it called? Clarified butter.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what's the name?
Ghee.
Yeah, ghee.
I always want to call it G because like Studio Ghibli, so I'm like, okay, so G H equals J.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh yeah, G.
G.
But that's just not what it is.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I guess because I'm gonna say something controversial for the English, and it's that their cooking is very, very primitive.
Yeah.
There is nothing like special about the cooking. There's really nothing special about English cooking. Nothing that requires anything, you know? Like, you don't really
mm-hmm.
need that much. Like,
it's simple.
Yeah, I like English food.
Yeah.
You know, I like Irish food, I like Scottish food. There's barely a difference, but there is one.
Yeah.
But I will openly admit that it's like throwing stuff together and being like, yeah, here you go. Food.
Honestly, the only like shepherd's pie is Irish, right?
Shepherd's pie
mm-hmm.
or cottage pie?
Shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie is like Anglo-Scottish.
Yeah, that's like the only British food. I get so confused with
the Isles.
Yeah, the like food from the Isles
yeah.
that I've ever like truly had. I mean, I'm sure I've had other stuff, but I just can't remember it.
Yeah. It's good. Shepherd's pie is good. And then cottage pie mm-hmm. is the same thing, but with different meat.
Okay.
But it's really good. Cottage pie is with, I think, turkey.
Yeah, I mean, it's because they use so much fat in their cooking, and fat brings out flavor and, like, holds on to flavor so well.
Yeah.
That, like, the limited amount of spice that
yeah.
they use... I mean, really, just salt and pepper.
No one eats meat like Europeans.
Yeah.
Or I guess no one ate meat like Europeans did, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like, hey, welcome to North and South America.
America.
Hey, welcome to America. We got pigs. We're like, hey, you know what you guys look like you need? You have corn.
Yeah.
You got pumpkins. You have some, like, turkeys and stuff. But you know what you need? You need cows. And we got them.
I think that with, like, Indian cooking, they don't... I hesitate to say this, because I don't really know that much about, like, the chemistry of food. But it doesn't seem like they use that much fat.
No.
Most of the fat that has been, like, incorporated into... Indian food has been from England, and so they've started to use less spices and kind of replace that with fat.
Yeah.
To make it taste like a broader flavor.
Yeah.
And I mean, cream is to just tone down the spice because white people can't handle spice.
Yeah.
That's not true. That's a generalization.
It is a generalization. A lot of white people can,
mm-hmm.
but like, you know, it's like most of the white people who break the white people can't eat spicy food stereotype.
Oh, my mom's one.
Are Americans.
Yeah.
Because Americans, especially in like the southern United States, don't have the option not
yeah.
to eat spicy food unless you mm-hmm. live in like the country.
Yeah. No, my mom will just like pile on pickled jalapenos onto everything she eats, and she'll just be eating it and like breathing through her teeth.
You just gotta inhale real quick, guys.
Yeah, but she loves it.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good. I am kind of going through a tough spot right now because, like, the other day I was eating something, I can't remember what it was, and I was like, this is spicier than it usually is. And it's because I think I have not been eating enough spicy food recently.
You have like a crisis of identity.
Yeah.
I used to be able to like shovel the 2x spicy ramen in my face.
Oh my god, spicy ramen I can't deal.
And I went through quarantine, and I didn't eat it ever. Because there are no, like, H Marts near my house.
Yeah.
And then I got back, and I was like, I'm going to try that ramen again. I still haven't been able to eat it.
I can't do spicy broths, because, like, it's just so liquidy, and they're usually so hot that, like, it's too much. But with Indian food, I just, like, I love it so much that I will eat and eat and eat. And the thing about spicy food, I mean Indian food, is, like, you'll eat one bite, and it's like, oh, that wasn't that bad. But it builds up.
Yeah.
And then you're, like, I don't know, 10 bites into your food, and you're like,
I can't breathe.
Wow. But I will finish it.
Have you ever eaten something so spicy that it makes your teeth tingle?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's a weird feeling.
I'm sure I would feel that on hot ones.
I want to do hot ones so bad.
Have you seen the Nick Kroll one?
Yeah. He's a funny guy.
He is funny.
I love that guy. I'd like to just, like, travel across, like, Eastern Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Southeast Asia, India,
Bangladesh,
and be like, give me your spiciest stuff.
Stuff.
Give me your spiciest stuff. And I know I will not be able to eat it,
yeah,
but I will try, gosh darn it.
Mm-hmm.
I will do my darndest.
Yeah. I can't even imagine the pain of, like, something so spicy.
Yeah. You know who's one of those, like, country white people who can't eat spice?
Mm.
Is my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a redneck. Redneck.
Yeah.
To the bone. Well and truly redneck. And I went to a Thai restaurant with him in, like, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I was already not expecting it to be spicy. And I got, like, a pad thai thing.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, now you can rank it from 1 to 10 on spice, and we'll give that to you. Which I thought was funny in the first place, because they, like, these people opened a restaurant to sell their own cuisine. And they had to make a scale for the people in the area to be able to consume it. And I was like, I'll take a 9. And my uncle was like, no, that's too spicy. You're going to need, like, a 4. And I was like, okay, I'll take a 5. And I got it. It was nothing.
Yeah.
It was like if you lightly dusted, like, red, like, dark red chili powder on top of pad thai.
Oh, God.
And you were like, God, that's a fire breath one right there. Yeah. It was so disappointing. I was like, I'm never listening to you again.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like all the Thai restaurants that I've been to, all their food is really sweet. And what I've heard is, like, that authentic Thai food is not that sweet.
No.
It's just an American thing.
Yeah. Well, what,
like, we have to add sugar, like, to everything.
What do we want with our, like, okay, you know what? These spicy noodles are really good, but I'm going to need you to, like, take out about 60% of the spice. And then the rest of the spice that you left in there, I'm going to need you to offset with about 6 cups of sugar.
Yeah.
And I don't mean brown sugar. I mean cane sugar.
Yeah.
And,
like,
be good.
Like pad thai. If you get pad thai at any Thai restaurant around Decatur, it's so sweet.
Yeah.
And
it's like, I like the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that that's not what it tastes like.
Yeah. It's like dessert noodles with chicken in it.
I can't complain about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad.
No.
It's not, it does not taste bad at all. It's
but
delicious.
But it's like, this isn't really Thai food.
Yeah.
But, you know, white people and spice just doesn't always work.
Yeah.
And I kind of respected the decision to play it safe rather than take the risk and be like, go out of business because your food is too spicy for the Americans.
Yeah.
But, oh well. That's our episode on tikka masala, Indian food, English people, why English people make Indian food worse.
It's not necessarily worse in all cases.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it's worse.
It's just worse.
You just have to know how to do it right.
Yeah. We like, can figure it out. As I feel like a lot of people are just like, all right, so I made this like dish that has no spices in it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to dump random spices in it. And when they don't taste good, I'm going to say it's the spices' fault and not mine.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, I don't know.
I think our message is, both are good, but tikka masala, the English version, is definitely not authentic.
I
don't know.
The original one. You know, like, okay.
It's definitely not traditional Indian food. It's its own cuisine. That's like our whole message on this whole podcast.
It's
like
its own thing.
All these foods are like it's its own thing, and they're still beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And they're still like equally valid.
Yeah.
But you can't. But you can't be like, yeah, no. Actually, tikka masala had no English influence.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can't be like, no, the English made this dish.
Yeah.
You know, either way.
It's both.
Yeah. So, tune in to our next one. We'll be discussing the Spanish national dish.
Paella.
It's really good.
Yeah.
But we got to eat, tikka. We did not, we will not get to eat paella on account of it being $65 at the nearest restaurant. So, stay tuned.